come here. Get off.
So today we're talking to Quinn G. Edwards. Quinn is the owner of Magnolia Mental Health and founder of Hey Black Girl. Quinn is a licensed psychotherapist and specializes in codependency, trauma, and minority-related issues, including those that impact women, members of the LGBTQ community, and people of color. Hey, Quinn.
Hey, how are y'all?
We are well, thank you. Yes, glad to have you here. But before we dive into our questions, what are your pronouns?
My pronouns are she and her.
Awesome. Okay, we're both she and her as well.
So, Quinn, we read your official bio, but we like to push folks to sum up what they do in regular-ass words. So what would you say it is that you do?
So basically, I get paid to be nosy. Yes. That's genuinely my favorite way to describe what I do. but I essentially like listen to people's issues, problems, and things that they're celebrating, and kind of give them feedback on maybe better ways to handle it, different outlooks about things, and maybe some coping skills about how to process going forward.
Dope. I love that you said things that they may be celebrating.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, like I don't really think about that and when it comes to therapy, because I feel like I spend most of my sessions like bemoaning the fucking state of the world.
Yeah, I always have to remind people, like, yeah, bad shit don't just happen to you. Like, it's not a little cloud of rain every day. Like, sometimes you have peaks of sunshine. And so clients usually forget that they can come in and talk about the things that they did well, as, you know, as well as the stuff that sucks. But I do have some clients that do that.
And as you progress, hopefully there are more things to celebrate than sucky rain clouds. So
yes, quick little commercial for therapy.
Yes, and we make it very clear on this show that we find therapy to be very beneficial. We look at our therapist as a superhero, and all superheroes have an origin story. So what is your therapist origin story? How did you come to do this work?
So originally I wanted to be an international psychologist and focus on, victims of sex trafficking and work with the FBI around that, under my mentor, who is Jane Goodall's mentee. So, you know, good stock, you know, who is cool, by the way, she's really cool. So
is she black?
Jane Goodall, white as hell.
No, I know she. Oh, I thought you were talking about your mentor.
She's a white woman too, but she don't. She don't want to be, but in the good way. You know how some white people be like, "I wish I was black."
Ooh, and it's just, I wish I could renounce it.
Yes, she doesn't do that. She was like, "Yeah, you know, being white cool because I get to call attention to the shit that you know white people be fucking up with."
I'm so sure I like she uses that. Her privilege properly. I like it
exactly. I originally wanted to do that, but I ended up, getting divorced in college, and it really impacted kind of my professional trajectory as well, because I went and got counseling myself, and I really liked it. It was a more direct way to approach the issues that I was having, and I thought, you know, I like this, so I want to do more direct work with people. So I just switched gears and just did therapy instead.
I wonder how many folks come to be therapists from going to therapy.
I would hope a lot, but as I have recently learned in many of the therapist Facebook groups I'm in, therapists are stupid too. And some of them don't have their own, haven't gone through their own shit and processing. I think that should be a requirement for our degree, but I was fortunate enough to work in a clinical environment starting off that required me to do my own counseling. And I understand what it's like to be on the other side of. Now, be clear, it sucked. It totally sucked. These are the people who told me that it was in my head that, you know, I was experiencing microaggressions. But I am glad that they made me go to counseling.
Well, it probably taught you a lot to put yourself in the shoes of your clients. So
mm-hmm. And speaks to the necessity of culturally competent therapy, right? Like, the idea of going and telling a white person all my business is repelling to me. But like, I think that some people, you know, they live in places where they may feel like they don't have a choice or whatever. But even just the idea that even if you have to go to someone who may not match your experiences, that you are still looking for someone who can in some way, if not relate to what you're going through, not fucking tell you that it's all in your head.
Exactly. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I made sure that I specialize in populations that don't really see themselves on the other side of the couch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, working at that clinic, I am grateful for the things they taught me. They also taught me about what microaggressions are, because I'm not sure, you know, it was back in the day, about 4 or 5 years ago, you know, back in the day of, you know, Jabot jeans in the South, you know. But which was literally 5 years ago. But, you know, so, you know, it really taught me, before I really had this larger sense of what microaggressions were, like I was experiencing them in real time. And so later on, when I look back and I have the language for that, I can help clients who experience those things navigate through them. And, you know, I'm sad that I went through that pain, but I also think that that made me the kind of therapist I am, and unbeknownst to them, it helped shape, you know, like my perspective of like, this is the populations that I really want to work with, the people that I really see need this. And mm-hmm. It felt good.
Sure. So, I mean, you just said that feels good. I'm wondering, like, what is the thing that you like most about what you do on a day-to-day
basis?
Being
right. Like, I'm literally like, I don't know when this will premiere, but I'm literally getting out of a day full of sessions, right? And I've been right all day. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, you know, after like 6 hours, you tired of being right your day yourself, you know? And so I think that's my favorite part of my job, is just that gratification, right? Like, see, bitch, you be knowing stuff. And part of that is because I have this like imposter syndrome that like, I'm not the right kind of therapist. I'm always so scared that I'm fucking up somebody's life, or that I am just saying the wrong thing, or I'm sweating, or I'm, oh God, like they're distracted. They're not even listening to me. And so being able to come into a session after I've had those insecure thoughts and hear a client really say back to me, hey, you know, all that shit you told me to do, you was right. This is how it worked. It kind of helps like calm that voice in my head. But also, I really do like helping people. And I am nosy. I like knowing shit.
I mean, that imposter syndrome shit is real. And I, like, I never really, like, I know that it is something that women deal with, right? And I know that it's something that women of color in particular deal with. But, like, I was talking to my partner, and, like, he was asking how I was feeling about some new projects that I have. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I feel good, but I'm also, like, trying to remind myself that I'm great and that I can do this and I'm not a fraud and I'm not going to get in there and they're going to be like, what the fuck are you doing? And I was like, you know, imposter syndrome. And he was like, what is that? He was like, I have never felt like that. And I was like, because you got a dick. You've never been, you identify as a man. You've never been made to feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, as much as even when we shield, black women, we shield ourselves with degrees and accomplishments, it doesn't go away. Because that was one of the ways that I thought I was building protection against my insecurity, right? Mm-hmm. Was to create this Spartan-like, you know, barrier between me and this force that my anxiety was just so loudly speaking through, that you don't belong here. You're not like the rest of the therapists. So there's something wrong with you. And I hear it every day. And some days it's louder than other days, but instead of just like building up this force, but making it bigger and bigger and all that pressure behind that shield busting through and causing me harm, I learned how to just like, you know, do it the 300 way, the battle of Thermopylae. Sorry, I really love Greek mythology. And just funnel that shit through, you know, like just find a way to beat my anxiety at its own game.
Wait, is that the one where they was kicking people into the pit?
They kicked one person into the pit, Kim.
Oh.
My God.
Yes, exactly one person. And it was the black guy, by the way. But yes. They kicked him, yes.
You know I don't know history.
That's not history. That's a baby. That ain't history.
I mean, in my mind, in the movie, it was a whole bunch of niggas getting kicked into the pit.
Yes,
it was literally one nigga, into the only nigga into a pit.
That is just one of my favorite cakes. Movies. Is that it? Is one of my all-time favorite movies. I love that movie. I yell that shit all the time. Like, when I was problematic, right before I would get into a fight, I'd be like, this is Sparta in my head. Like, and I would just charge. Like, literally, whenever I'm on some stupid shit, I yell, this is Sparta first.
And I was going to say, now, is this really only when you were problematic? Because I feel like you probably have a few this is Sparta moments. Like, you probably had one at Whole Foods right now.
I don't shop there. That's for the devil. But I support that. That food unseasoned. I don't believe in it. So,
it depends on the location.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Well, Quinn, what would you find the most challenging thing about being a therapist and working with people? Well, no. The most challenging thing about being a therapist.
Because have you met people? Like, that's
not. Yeah.
So, like, you know, there's the fun, like, comical stuff, like, if I feel like I got bad BO that day, or, oh my God, when I think I have a booger in my nose, or my hair is so fucked up today, I just went ahead in one of my sessions and just wrapped my fucking hair. Like, I was just like, look, I don't want you looking at this shit no more, let's just wrap this up. And they just was like, I appreciate your authenticity. And so it's just like, and one of my braids fell out in my session like 2 weeks ago. Like, it's just be stupid shit that be happening, or I have some milk and now I gotta fart my whole session, but I gotta not look like it, or my session running over and I gotta pee and my client want me to walk them to the door, so I gotta stand up with my knees together and holding my damn bladder so I don't piss on myself in my session. Like, just a million bajillion. Yes. So that part is hard. But then also, of course, like, when my clients are triggering me, right? That's called, you know, like, well, countertransference is when I'm projecting my shit onto them. But sometimes, like, I have some of the same experiences and issues that my clients have. And when they're in front of me talking about things that I'm also processing and stuck with, it is so hard. It is so hard to stay present, but that's also when I do my best work as a therapist, because I feel responsible for counseling two people in that room. Now, that ain't what I'm supposed to do, but I mean, sometimes you can't help. I don't know what my clients are getting ready to say to me when they walk into the room. So I just roll with it and just let them know, like, hey, I understand exactly what you're going through. Here's what I think you should do. And usually when I'm saying that, I'm talking to myself. That's also why I use we a lot in sessions with clients, because I'm often reinforcing some of these things as well internally.
Damn. I mean, I think I never thought about it that way, because even, you know, when I'm like setting my boundaries around certain things that I can't talk to people about, a lot of times it is because it is triggering to me. Like when, like if a family member wants to call and dump all of their shit on me, right? Like, a boundary that I've had to set is that I can't do that because it fucks with my own anxiety. I never thought about the fact that that would impact a therapist on a day-to-day. I think, in a way, I do kind of think of y'all as superheroes. Like, y'all got this, like, extra shield around y'all that other folks don't have that lets you be able to do that work and walk out unscathed. But that's not realistic.
No, and nobody thinks that therapists need trigger warnings. Like, that's the interesting part. Like, so for instance, it don't even always be about difficult, traumatic stuff. Like, you know, because I'm like, you know, super liberal, whatever, my clients might say something like, you know, I don't like how my pussy is feeling nowadays. And I'm just like, okay, wait, I was not ready yet for that conversation, but I appreciate the candor. Like, I thought we was going to talk about your baba shit. You know, like, so, and sometimes I'm just, because it's so fun sometimes, and I like so many of my clients that sometimes I try to manage, like, talking to them, like, as, like somebody that's a peer and understands what they're going through and is enjoying this conversation with them, but also like making sure that I keep it therapeutic. Mm-hmm. But then also there's the times like when I'm out and about, especially like when I was on Twitter and back home, people would recognize me and they would just walk up to me and just start telling me trauma shit. Like, oh, shit. I'm in Kroger in the bread aisle because I was finna fry some catfish and spaghetti. But anyway,
catfish and spaghetti.
All right. See, this is the largest group of fish and spaghetti advocates I've ever been around. So I just want to take a moment and appreciate that for the culture.
Yes. But everybody soak it in.
Yes. Mm, like the hot sauce and the bread. Yes. Mm. But no, I'm usually like in random places and someone will like just decide that because I'm a therapist, they want to tell me something. When I'm getting my hair done, when I'm in the car in an Uber, when I'm at a random party, when I'm meeting people, when I'm grocery shopping, like even like people still try to literally be my friend to get free therapy. Like I've had at least 4 people say that to me in the past year and a half on social media via DMs. Like, you know, I would love to have a therapist as a friend because I feel like you'd be my best friend. Like here, like what?
These people have zero boundaries.
Yes. And also we forget people are weird.
Yes.
So, you know, like that's the hardest part. It's just like sometimes people forget that, you know, I'm a regular person, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, that's real shit. So we're going to change yours a little bit because, you know, we asked you to come on the show today because we read a book last week, Let Me Free You, that features a self-described hotep. So for those who are listening who don't know, I'm going to read a short description of a hotep from the homie Damon Young over at Very Smart Brothers. And he first reminds us that hotep is an Egyptian word for peace. So we got that out of the way. Like, we know it means peace. But then he breaks down the way that we tend to use hotep today. And he says, for some signs that a person might be hotep, look for the following. 1, a steadfast belief in illogical conspiracy theories. 2, an arrogant adherence to respectability politics. 3, sexism and homophobia that vacillate from thinly veiled to, if being gay was natural, how come it ain't no gay elephants? 4, unbowed and uncompromising support for any black man accused of any wrongdoing, even if said man's guilt is clear. Lord. And 5, ashy ankles. It feels hella accurate. I'd also like to add that ashy part between your thumb and your ex.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm full disclosure, my shit's ashy right this moment, but I was washing dishes, so.
Damn, it's mine. Hold on. Nope.
Gotta keep lotion. I mean, none of the other shit applies, though. We good.
Okay.
So, while the male lead in the book did his best to separate himself from what he even described as some of the worst things that are associated with being a hotep, he made us think about some of the terrible men that we've encountered. And we happen to know, Quinn, that you have a top-notch hotep dar. So what makes your alarms go off?
Ooh, so much. everything that Darnell said, of course. I would also add probably like either that area right before like the bottom of your foot, like the ankle area, or like
the
elbow.
The back of your tendon.
Yeah, like, you know, like right there. Oof, yes, that is it, honey.
It's like they don't believe you're reaching down.
The white man wants you to reach down. White man
wants you to reach down.
But apparently they don't because white people don't wash their legs. So,
but yeah. The white man wants you to bow to him. That's why he don't put lotion on his ankles. You see what I'm saying? Stay woke, you know. Please sleep. So that, I also think those curved fingernails, the ones that don't lift up, you know, where it looked like this ain't like a 1D, like he got a 1D finger, you know what I'm saying? Or no D, whatever it is, like it's just flat
booty,
you know?
Diggers.
Like, what?
Call them booty diggers because you can ding your booty without scratching yourself.
Okay, all right. like those fingers are so gross. It's like it's a part of the, it's like a helmet for the finger.
Ugh. Oh my God.
That, if they got one of them Ankh necklaces or some kind of wooden
pause jewelry. For the cause. I have an Ankh tramp stamp. I was young and wanted a tattoo and needed something that wasn't, you know, it, I didn't want to get sweet and juicy on my back.
But
so
did you
I
think was it was like classy. Deep?
I thought it was deep. I thought I was classy. Fuck all y'all.
Was you fucking with a Hotep at the time?
No, this is part of what makes me a Hotep magnet, and now I'm mad.
Why do cats see you like out at but festivals like, and get a glimpse of your uncle and be like, ooh, and like, that one.
Peace, queen. I'm like, no, I'm really a bald-headed hoe. I really like bald-headed hoe shit.
It's well, this your own fault.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's like, we wanted a queen. We got a hoe. I'm like, yeah.
And that's it, too. If they just always say, like, queen and what, grand rising. Grand rising.
Wait. Ooh. So, wait, let's unpack grand rising. Because that's the last part of the story that we read. Like, the couple wakes up and the dude says, grand rising. And she say, grand rising, Neil. What does grand rising mean? What do we know collectively?
I don't. I'm assuming the sun rose.
So mad.
And it was grand. Someone thought that one morning, this is such a grand sun. Well, grand sun, stay woke. That's where it came from.
Always into the man.
Works.
I have no idea. But I mean, I just, I think that and probably super creased clothes, maybe if they're a mason, well, I don't know, I'm thinking about that one lately, might want to consider that.
Okay, again, I feel attacked because I'm from the Midwest and we like to crease our pants. No longer do I do it, but okay. It was a thing.
Yeah. That is, sure. I mean, and I mean, just general avoidance of equality for anyone except the black man, you know, like pork, y'all know the Hoteps hate pork and they just, that's something, I think that might be they, like if you're going to do a witch's circle, you know, where you pour salt around, just put a bunch of pork chops in a fucking circle around you to repel these kind of niggas. Pork chops and lotion, ankle lotion, and maybe y'all won't put up no goddamn Hoteps no more. Just a nice little prayer circle.
I like it.
So why are Hoteps dangerous? What, like, for folks that are out here just trying to live, get a little dick, find a boo, why are they dangerous?
I think that definitely if you're casually dating a Hotep, you might be okay, especially if you're a person going into it knowing, like, I'm just dick and free meals, pork free meals, apparently. But that's it. That's all you're going to get from this nigga. If you go into it knowing he's stupid, knowing you can't take him nowhere, he going to tell you something about anti-vaxxing and needles came from a white man and ain't no gay elephants, like, lesbians don't exist at all. Like, matriarch elephants couldn't be lesbians at all. All they do is live together for a long ass time, walk Raise around and do together. Shit. That sound like a lesbian relationship to me, but fine, you know. But if you are just casually dating a Hotep, I think you're okay. As long as you keep your wits about you, you got some good friends, some good people to mirror back to you like, hey, this ain't it. I hope we're just having fun. Mm. But the problem is Hoteps usually got real good dick. And so, if you the type of person that get easily digmatized, you might be in trouble. You might...
Wait, it feels like you had some personal experience with Hoteps.
Yeah, I you know what? I am so grateful to only have dated a couple of Hoteps in my youth. You know, like when I was like under 18. So, you know, you didn't have a word for it. You just knew this nigga was stupid. Like, how you misspelling shit on Bebo. I don't know if y'all remember Bebo. That was like... back in the day.
No,
but, that might have just been some clones there, Mississippi shit. Somebody made a web page. That's bad. Edit that out. Nobody knows. It was Mississippi's Facebook. But so, but essentially, like, I dated some niggas back then who were kind of like, you know, just young and stupid. Mm. One of them was half Puerto Rican, so he would talk to me stupid in Spanish, and I just, I love it. He probably said, Jose Frio or something. The nigga was in Mississippi. He wasn't connected to his roots. But I don't know. But, I mean, I think my ex-husband was kind of a hotel, but it's hard to reflect his behavior and align it back as just a hotel because he also was abusive. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to just label him as a hotel because he has this other dark thing to him. But we also have to really consider a lot of men who are hoteps, they like all this misogyny and internalized racism and homophobia. That's also really dark shit. And a lot of them are narcissists.
Right.
So, you know.
That's actually something we're going to ask you about. Yeah, oh, like the overlap okay. of, because I mean, for me, a lot of the hoteps that I've encountered were narcissists as well. But I also think maybe it's important to take a minute and explain to our listeners what that is. Cause I think we, you know, we throw the term around a lot. It's just like how people call people sociopaths, like, but people don't really know what that means. So like, can you just take a second and back up and tell folks what a narcissist is?
Yeah. And so you don't have to be a sociopath to be a narcissist. And also you don't have to have a personality. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a narcissistic personality disorder to be, you know, narcissistic, but basically, a narcissist is somebody that has who they really are because of some kind of like childhood trauma or something like that. Something horrible at some point happened to them, or disturbing or disruptive. And they decided, instead of confronting it and processing it and dealing with it like the rest of us, they was going to come up with a whole new sense of self, and they won't see anything outside of that. And they want other people to kind of engage with and or worship that false sense of self that they created.
That feels very familiar. So given that definition, does it make sense that I've seen so much overlap between hoteps and narcissists?
No, I mean, because if we look at some of the stuff, like even that Damon just kind of pointed out about like the behavior of of hoteps, like, it is an alignment. Like, they, you know, hoteps think that the man is the head of the family, the black man specifically, you know, and everything centers around him being king and women are subservient to him and, you know, all of this shit. And so that doesn't sound very different from a narcissist who just makes everything about them all the time and who projects this like confidence and I am this fantastic man and really you ain't got shit and doing shit, but you just standing on the backs of these women and children or other people around you. And I just really also think that hoteps usually do a lot of gaslighting, which narcissists also do. Warping your reality and making you feel like, well, you know, is this really true? And also taking away your options from you by warping your reality, making you think that nobody else will want you but right, them.
Isolating you.
So therefore you gotta do that. Yeah.
So why do you think we get swept up by him?
Well, good dick. I mean, let's just
put it out there.
Keep a spade. Well, but also, put a spade. Maybe,
you know, there are also women who fall into this hotep trap, right? Like, what do they call them on a black lady?
Herteps.
Yes, herteps. That's a thing, too.
Yeah. Well, dick isn't gender specific, by the way, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, you can be strapping it up, you know. But
real shit.
I do think that, you know, definitely, like, if we're talking about the context of, you know, people other than men that aren't hoteps, they still believe in that hierarchy and that structure right. of relationships. So they still contribute to these harmful ways in any possible way. And the goal is, I don't want to be the bottom of the totem pole, so I'm going to always find someone lower than me.
Oh.
So for her tips,
I'm sorry, y'all. I'm going to say one thing. I always try to do things in the moment. So using the term totem pole is actually derogatory.
Oh,
yeah. So
right.
let's use a ladder or just like hierarchy or whatever. So yeah, but they want to climb to the top of the ladder, right? They want to be at the top of the hierarchy.
Exactly. Yeah. And they also want to make sure that, you know, that they have someone to look down upon. And so for her tips, you usually see, you know, especially like black women of a certain demographic, like an age group, you usually see that kind of antagonism that black men have towards black women. Mm-hmm. With black women, it's usually against like trans persons and the LGBTQ community, and
somebody who they perceive to be lower on the hierarchy than they are.
Exactly. Unmarried women, young mothers, mm-hmm. like people like this who just reject very specific structures and hierarchies that they have believed in.
So what can folks do to disentangle themselves from these tips?
I mean, obviously, phone a friend. If you feel like you're getting too dick whipped, or ass whipped, shall I say. And I think that it's really important for you to have a really good, when you can, right? We're not talking about relationships where you're 17, 18, and you're developing who you are, but if you have a very solid sense of who you are before you go into a relationship with a person like this, it will be really easy for you to not have your core shaken so much up by them. You know what I'm saying? Like with earthquakes, they put the damn poles deep in the ground. And so even when the earth moves, like the foundation doesn't have to. And I think it's important for you, if you're going to be dating as an adult person, to just at least go into relationships where you know who you are, because you're going to be constantly tested by hotels or hertels or just regular people about shit you think you already know about you. And if you already are protected and well-grounded, you'll be all right. And you'll know that this person's full of shit. Now, if you like most of us who don't have that sense, that core sense of self before you start dating, you learn on the way, right? So having friends reflect things back to you, but you have to be honest, and we have to eliminate the shame of fucking up in relationships. So you have to be honest with your friendship circle. Also be honest with, if you have a therapist or, a pastor or, someone you're close to that you can download some of this stuff about, lean into them and just be able to say, like, this is what's going on with my person. And when shit is abnormal, they will tell you. I've been thinking this story was normal my whole fucking 20s and 30. Well, I'm only 31, but 20 and 30, But I have been telling people that one of my exes, who was a hotep, who is a doctor here in the DMV area, actually. I met him through his girlfriend, which I was fucking his girlfriend, and then I got him. So, I got hooked up with him, and I remember thinking he was a doctor, so he knew everything he was talking about, right? And so, I'll never forget, like, after he was telling me something about, like, how women should talk to men, and, his mom always bent her knee to his father when he came into the house after a long day. And shit like that. I'll never forget, I was talking to people about just a random story. And I was like, he put some hand sanitizer on his dick instead of taking a bath. What? And I didn't think that up.
My God.
I will never forget, about 2 months ago, I just found out that wasn't normal. I was sitting there laughing at this story with my wife about another part of the story. And my wife is sitting there looking at my friend's face, and I'm moved on, and they all laughing. And I'm like, damn, that's a good story I'm telling. And so they all said, that's not normal. What are you talking about? How did you skip that? And your friends, if you're honest with your friends about what's going on, they will call it out, whether it's comical or not. That doesn't matter. But I have people in my life where I can reflect these experiences back to. And they can give me some feedback about it. But that didn't happen if I wasn't willing to be vulnerable.
Right. Which is tough, right? Especially because we're taught that that's a weakness.
Yeah, we're conditioned to think that we have to be strong.
Right, absolutely. So for folks who, are kind of like us, and I'll speak for myself, I turn to books for solutions and plans all the time. I'm a nerd. Do you have any book recommendations for folks who may need some help with dealing with the issues that may arise, either from dealing with somebody like this, or to kind of give them a grounding to be able to disentangle themselves?
Absolutely. My favorite books to prescribe to clients are The Body Keeps the Score and Face and Codependence. So Body Keeps the Score is mostly centered around like physical trauma and the disconnect between your brain and body when these things happen to you, and how your body responds in one way, your brain responds in another. And it's really good to see like people really understand like these two things don't always work in tandem. And sometimes my body is telling me this isn't a good relationship. Why am I in this relationship? Your body's always tired and crying. Well, you're always crying and you're sick, or, you know, you can't get aroused as much as you used to because your body is trying to give you these clues. Your brain, though, will tell you this is the best relationship you've been in. He hasn't hit you. What's wrong with that? Is this relationship so bad? She isn't doing nothing that's as bad as your last partner, you know? And so being able to show them the disconnect that your brain and your body will have, and how to learn to understand your complete language that your body is giving you, is really important. Facing Codependency is one of my favorite, is because one, all my Black women have resistance to that book. I have never prescribed that book to a Black woman. At this point, it's like 112 women that I prescribed this book to. Every single one of them gets angry.
Codependence is scary.
Yeah, especially because for us, we're conditioned to think that we're supposed to be hyper independent, and that word codependent seems incongruent with what we think about ourselves. But without getting too much into that, like being super independent is a form of codependency. So I'm just like,
Why are you so loud, Quinn?
Yeah, all right, sure. You single independent woman don't need no man. Fine, I get it. I fuck with this. However, let's just talk about why, you know, and that's where I always get the resistance. But those two books really give you a snapshot of your interpersonal relationships with the codependence one, and also how you feel with the Body Keeps the Score one.
Dope. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So as we prepare to close, we'd like to ask you one final really tough question. It's a would you rather. So would you rather be in a relationship with a hotep or in a relationship with a person, a Black person, that swears they don't see color?
Okay, so, Okay, so the kind of relationship, all that shit is the same, right? Short term, long term, whatever, it don't matter. Right. Just would I rather spend my evening talking to somebody about how Bill Cosby tried to buy NBC. Or
yo, that happened to me for real.
It has happened to all of us. It happened to me talking to other therapists.
Oh, shit.
So, yes. Never forget that. I thought that was just a Twitter thing until somebody said that shit to me in real life. I was like, you're too old to be stupid. they just are. Like, you've been around long enough to read books.
We know that. But
spend my day thinking about that, or somebody that just probably tucks their shirt in real high, like where they pants real high, you know?
They like probably wear like armpit sweatpants.
Yeah, like Ducks
pants.
Unlimited. Yeah, you know them Ducks, the Mallards that be on them belts. They probably wear something like that, or wear they shades with a band or a string around. Oh my god! At least with a hotel, I'm gonna have a good time. I think I might. The food gonna be seasoned. I'm not like, just think about somebody who don't see race. The kind of food they eat, they probably drink milk. Oh my god, that feels so boring. I would just be so disappointed to have missionary sex with the lights off just to be in a relationship with this loser. So no.
So you going with the hotel?
I would rather her tip, by the way. I'd rather deal with a stud with these problems. No, that'd be much worse. I go with a hotel man. I'll take that for 300. Goddamn it. Well, probably how much money he gonna owe me when we break up.
Bitch. That's accurate. Yo, we're so glad that you joined us today. Where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me all my social media, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook is Magnolia M Health at Magnolia M Health. My website is magnoliamhealth.com. Also heybgirl.com. You can send me an email. Like, all of my contact information is on my website and on my social media pages.
That's dope. Well, this wraps up this week's episode of The Turn On. Thanks, y'all, for joining us. Peace.
Thank you for having me.
This episode was produced by us, Erica and Kenria, and edited by Ballistic. The theme song is from Brazy. First, please leave a review in your favorite podcast listening app. For real, we want to hear from y'all. Send your book recommendations and all the burning sex and related questions you want us to answer to theturnonpodcast@gmail.com. And please subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at @theturnonpod and Instagram at @theturnonpodcast. And find links to books, transcripts, guest info, and other fun stuff at theturnonpodcast.com. Bye!